we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now, and maybe months even, but where are the Blue Jays headed? And I think the conversation is also shifting to what do the Blue Jays owe to their fans, and what does a massive rebuild look like? How will the fans take that? All of those different questions come to mind, and the answers, I guess, are still yet untold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the Jays owe their fans anything. I think they have gone to two straight ALCSs. They have been going for it. They've been one of the most exciting teams in baseball for two of the past 3 years. I don't know what else you could ask of the franchise. And like any other sport, baseball is cyclical, and the Jays have been decimated by injury this year and decimated a little bit by just getting older because they've been going for it the past couple of years. I don't think that any fan should be I mean, you can be disappointed, but you can't be disappointed in the organization because you're having a crappy season, not after what we've seen in the city the past couple of years.
Yeah, just to clarify, it's definitely been months and not weeks that we've been talking about this. The two seasons that they're going to the ALCS, they stayed very healthy, and maybe people didn't appreciate how much of a factor that was in the team's success. And, you know, maybe they had Travis around just to bring up their games lost numbers. But I just think that this is, it wasn't inevitable. But if you're looking at Sanchez losing so many starts, games lost through the lineup, it was predictable, if not bound to happen.
Yeah, and even through May, I mean, you think about that May this year where they had an incredible, incredible month with so many players on the disabled list, and they still were able to have a very successful month. That's been their only successful month so far on the season. It's the reason they aren't further out of the playoff race than they have been. It is remarkable. And you know what? Health, there's a lot of parallels to be made with the age of this team. And I think a lot of people look at what the White Sox have done over the last 7-8 months or so, since the end of last year, and the trades that they've made, and moving Chris Sale, moving Jose Quintana, making the move with the Yankees this week, and they've built the best farm system in baseball in 7-8 months. And I think a lot of Blue Jays fans look at that and they say, oh, we can do that too. Let's do that. Let's rebuild real quick, like, you know, the Leafs did too. And it just can't work like that because the Blue Jays don't have that kind of value, John.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to start going down that road, Blue Jays fans, then you have to come to the realization that Marcus Stroman is no longer a Blue Jay. He is the one guy on this team who could net you a fortune in terms of prospects. Josh Donaldson, he would be less valuable, I would think.
Well, you'd be selling really, really low right now.
You'd be selling low, but I mean, he's also under control for one more year.
Right.
You know, Stroman is
and
still...
And his body of work.
Yeah. I mean, Stroman is the best pitcher on the Jays, was a borderline all-star pitcher, is under team control at a cheap rate for, I believe it's 3 more years. He is exactly the kind of guy that other teams would be salivating over and would pay a big price for. But that would set you back. That means that you are no longer trying to be competitive, trying to put a good product on the field. That's a sure sign of a franchise turnaround.
Salivating always makes me crazy when people use it, like the scouts or manager. Yeah, no, salivating just, I mean, save it for discussion of Pavlovian science. But the thing with Stroman, I would say, is, you know, if you're looking at this very coldly and objectively, is his career success to this point sustainable, right? And then you get into the question of how many guys who fit his profile really have long sustained success, and have we seen Stroman as good as he's going to be, and sort of where is he 2 and 3 seasons from now and longer. And, you know, like there's no room for sentiment, right? There would be people in baseball that would say, you know what, great that he's done this so far, but he isn't the profile of a guy with long-term success at the major league level. So, and you might be at this point trading him at close to peak value.
Yeah, and I think that's a situation where the Blue Jays and my big worry of, you know, this team being not great for a few years to come is you look at other teams, and I've mentioned this before, but the Phillies, the Astros of the world, they before they even started their rebuilds, they held on to aging cores for way too long, and it just extended their amount of time near the bottom of their divisions longer than it needed to be, quite frankly. And the Blue Jays are running that risk as we speak right now, and that's the problem is you can only have so many players that have value. And right now, because of the way the Blue Jays season has gone, like who are players of value on this team? It's Josh Donaldson. It's Marcus Stroman. It's Roberto Osuna. It's, I don't know, Aaron Sanchez. Yeah, he still has value, but obviously an acquiring team would be very scared of his blister issues. Russell Martin, he might still have some value in Justin Smoke. Who else has value on this Blue Jays team? Like significant value that would net you significant prospects in return that you would be happy about?
No, I don't think, I think you've named everybody more or less with any kind of value. I think that the way the organization has acquired players over the past couple of years has left them today in a situation that you just described, which is not having a lot of great players. You know, the one thing I would say, though, is that I have more faith in this organization now and its ability to retool on the fly and rebuild when necessary than I did 3 or 4 years ago, because I think that ownership has seen what an exciting Jays team can do in terms of revenue.
Yeah.
And they know that you want people watching, you want people listening on this radio station, you want people clicking on the website, that they're not going to do that if you don't have a good team, or at least hope for a good team. And the Jays, until a couple years ago, didn't really ever have that hope. They never had a really strong farm system that was just delivering Major League Baseball players all the time. That's kind of what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are trying to build, and I think that there's enough money behind them to go out and fill in the gaps where needed.
You know, it's an interesting proposition. When you go back, I would love to hear what the sound was in this studio back when Encarnacion signs with Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
right? If the Jays were on the hook for 3 years of Edwin at this point, just given his form, forget about last night with in the 13-3 win. But
he's not significantly better than Kendrys Morales is.
Like no, and he's an older guy too.
Yeah,
he would just add to the age issue on this team.
Yeah, and so I mean, he would be an impediment to taking this team forward rather than an asset. And you talk about someone who would have not a lot of value in trade like right now. So, in looking at what teams do, You can't get locked into what looks good in the moment. Re-signing Edwin would have looked good in the moment, but in its long-term wisdom, I don't think was really there. And they were lucky that they didn't succumb to you know, managing in the moment.
Well, they were lucky that he rebuffed a 4-year, $80 million offer. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they did succumb to the moment. They did make what turned out to be the strongest contract offer for Encarnacion. He just didn't want it at the time.
Yeah.
So really luck shined on them there more than anything.
Yeah. And with Jose's napkin offer as well.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they would be in terrible straits right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like if they had those two guys under long-term.
It'd be a nightmare. Right?
Yeah.
And you're having those discussions right now. I mean, obviously Marco Estrada, not great again last night, gave up 5 runs, all of them earned. And, you know, I guess there's might be moves made, but to me, even for this year, as we approach the deadline, like the upside of keeping Marco Estrada, Francisco Liriano, and even Jose Bautista, keeping those guys and hoping that they find something over the back half of the year, and you can sneak into the wild card race again, maybe not get a playoff spot, but have that hope of being competitive. Maybe that's more upside than the mid to lower level prospect that you would get in return.
I'm not even sure you'd get a mid to lower level prospect at this point for those guys, right? I mean,
well, Liriano's got zero value.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
I mean, Estrada's value is all based on what he could potentially do for you. He has proven in the playoffs that he can be a top performer.
Fine until the fifth inning last night.
But yeah, it's, I mean, in terms of his performance this season, his value is next to nil as well. So I guess you're right. I mean, you know, do you hold on to them? I would say if somebody comes knocking and they want to give you something, you're probably, and you kind of like it, you're probably better off just getting rid of them. This season is over, right?
I think the season is pretty much over. It would take a miracle at this point for the Blue Jays to make the postseason. I think the question too is, especially for a guy like Jose Bautista, and yeah, there shouldn't be sentiment in sports, but certainly fans have a sentiment towards Jose Bautista and everything that he's done for this club and has been to this club for a long time. Does it even make sense to move him for basically a nothing prospect? Like, what is that message to the fan base, moving off an iconic Blue Jay for basically nothing?
I think if you get even a marginal prospect back, like, then you do it. I this idea that the fans want to see Jose Bautista finish out the season here, you know, it's not the end of days for him. I can imagine that he will get another major league contract from somebody at some price if he wants to hang on, you know, but if this isn't his farewell tour. So I don't buy the fans really clinging to Jose Bautista through to the end of September.
Yeah, I mean, and we started this segment talking about what do the Blue Jays owe their fans. If there's anything, it's what they owe them is a smart rebuild. And if you can get something for your aging right fielder who, you know, hits about 230, gets a lot of walks and therefore is on base pretty often, but, you know, can't play defense. If you can get anything for him, you do. I mean, by record, this is the third worst team in the American League. So there's no coming back from that.
To last than first.
Way closer
to last than even a playoff spot, like the second
wild
card.
They're 6.5 games out of the second wild card spot.
Yeah.
They're not coming back from that.
No.
So you need to be smart in what you do. And yeah, you have to take the short view and the long view and decide if it's better to keep a guy like Jose around just for the rest of the year. But if you can get something for him, get something for him. Your fans will be happier for it 2-3 years down the road when you're hoping to again be a contender.
Your scouts have to find someone that they like more than the team that is acquiring Bautista. That's what scouts do, right?
Yeah, exactly.